be where prayer is wont to be made. Certainly good to come into this house and gather together in the name of our precious Lord and Savior to endeavor to put forth an effort to focus our thoughts and our attention, all of our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is everything. He's everything unto us this morning, everything unto our soul. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. I think of that expression from Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The child, the man Christ Jesus, was born. The Son of God is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has many sons by adoption, but he has only one begotten Son. This is the plain teaching of the Scriptures. And this only begotten Son is the one that is the captain of our salvation in bringing many sons unto glory. Amen. All the adopted sons of God. Our beloved captain, the begotten Son of God, will bring every heir of promise, the adopted of God, unto glory. Aren't we thankful this morning for that understanding? Aren't we thankful this morning for that wonderful truth as it is in Christ Jesus? To think upon such wonderful and pleasant things. Yeah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That we have hope of glory. Grace now and glory after a while. Grace now. Thank God for that grace. Thank God for that origin, that beginning of grace. But after a while, it shall be glory. By and by, we get a little foretaste of glory every now and then. We get a little glimpse, we get a little glamour, amen, of that glory. But all we can't imagine, we can't even begin to comprehend, to begin to think upon such sweet and wonderful and pleasantness of how glorious it's going to be to stand in the presence of God Almighty. To be carried into that wonderful presence of his glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I believe this morning I'd like to read the verses that are in Matthew chapter 22 that the Lord spake when some Pharisees were gathered together. In Matthew chapter 22, starting there in verse 1, it tells us that there were some Pharisees that were gathered together. And when they were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. Now, they were always asking the Lord questions, and some months ago, we tried to preach upon some of those questions. And, of course, after this particular question here that they asked, that they had been asking the Lord, and then when they were gathered together, the Lord asked them this question. And after this dialogue, and after Jesus asked this question and speaks these words, we find in verse 46 that it says, "And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." So this question that the Lord asked put an end to all questions. But of course, it was nearing the time of the end of our Lord's life here upon this earth before the crucifixion. It's drawing nigh to that time. So I want you to notice what the Lord in verse 42, when they were gathered together and Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" What think ye of Christ? What think ye of the anointed one? We know that in Greek the name Christ comes from the word Christos, which means the anointed one. So he is saying, what think ye of the anointed one? What think ye of the one that the prophets prophesied that would come, who would be the anointed one to do the will and the purpose of the Godhead? And Jesus says, what think ye of Christ? And where he was leading this conversation was, whose son is he? Whose son is Christ? Whose son is the anointed one? Whose son is the one that has been marked out and signified and foretold by the prophets that would come? This is very important. This goes to the very root of the gospel. This goes to the very root of your living with God in glory. If what we understand is not right, then we have no hope of heaven. But I'm glad this morning, amen, that I believe by the witness of the Spirit and by the unction of the Spirit and the teaching in the heart and by the plain, clear cut, because of the illumination of the Spirit from God's precious word, that he has blessed us with this understanding, because he is the very height. He is the very personified setting forth of understanding. And his word, he has given us this understanding of who Christ is and whose son he is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. The Word made flesh.
Right.
It is upon the sonship of Jesus Christ that the gospel church is founded and established. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. What think ye of Christ? Peter, by divine revelation, said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Whose son is he? The Son of the living God.
Yeah.
And then the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, his son in the ministry, that the church is the ground, the pillar of truth. And it is the church of the living God. We believe this morning that we're serving the one and only true and living God, and that Jesus Christ is the expressed image of the Father.
Amen.
That he, in him dwelt bodily the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
That God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. What cardinal teaching, what bedrock, fundamental, foundational doctrine, teaching that Jesus gave and set forth and gave through the apostles and through the apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who had great understanding and great light and illumination and mysteries revealed unto him that had been hidden since the foundation of the world. And he writes of these things, giving understanding of the prophetic utterances from the Old Testament and tying them together and bringing them forth and teaching them in the gospel church, and it also going hand in hand with the everlasting gospel that Jesus himself preached. Jesus preached his everlasting gospel. We're thankful for that good news. Now notice, whose son is he? Is not this Jesus of Nazareth? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary and Joseph's son? This was the common knowledge. It was the common thinking from a humanistic standpoint among the people of that day. And even would say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, but I want to tell you, it was far from that. Far from that. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. This is where he came from. He came from the glory world. He condescended from heaven itself. I came down from heaven. And then he goes on and he tells us the purpose. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And what is that will? That of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. There is coming a last day. And even as Lazarus' sister said to the Lord, I know he shall arise again, that he'll live again in the resurrection at the last day. Amen. Must have heard Jesus preach on that one time. Amen. When he had been in their home. Because this is what Jesus said. That he would raise it up again. These bodies. He would raise them up again. In the restoring of the soul and the spirit. At the last day. And it's all based upon. It's all relying upon. Who Christ is. Who Jesus is. And whose son is he. He's not Joseph's son. Amen. But he is God's son. The only begotten. He's Joseph's son legally through adoption. But Joseph was not his biological father. Amen. But thank God for Joseph. You've heard me talk about that before. Thank God for Joseph. Thank God that he was a devout man. And he was blessed of the Lord. And that he was obedient. And that he founded the home and went ahead and took Mary, his espoused wife, and established that home. And Jesus was born not illegitimate, but he was born in the home. And he had a father, an adopted father, whereby he had right and legal access to the throne of David. Yeah. Amen. Through Joseph that went all the way back to Solomon. And for it was Solomon that was heir to the throne. And so Christ on both sides, through his adoptive father Joseph, he had right to the throne of David, and also through Mary, for that's who Christ also, the Jesus, the son of David. He is the seed of the woman, as the scripture prophesied concerning the seed of the woman. Why the seed of the woman? Because he is not the seed of man. He is not the offspring. He is not the descent from a human standpoint. Amen. He is the son of God. I mean, he is the seed of the woman. He is the descent from that standpoint. Now, as Jesus went on with this narrative here, after he asked them this question, they say unto him in verse 42, the son of David. This is the answer that they gave him, the son of David. And of course, that was a correct answer. That's who Christ is. He is the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? David in spirit, by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, amen, called Christ Lord. Amen, called the one that was standing before them Lord. Notice in verse 44, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him. What a great that which is set forth before them concerning Christ. He is the child that was born, but he is even so much more. He is the son that is given. Yes, he is Christ. He is the son of David. But greater he is, amen, the greater David, he is the son of the living God. This, as I said, this is fundamental. This is cardinal. It is foundational. It is bedrock. This truth that Christ built his church upon. Amen. And the gospel church is the ground, the pillar of truth. If this isn't truth, if this isn't so, then our faith is vain.
Yeah.
Amen. Our faith that we believe in, speaking for us, the standpoint from articles of faith, from the standpoint of our belief, what we believe, amen, what we hold dear, what we hold precious, amen, from God's word, what the saints of God over the last 2,000 years, these many centuries, amen, have lived by and died by and rejoiced in. Oh, and lived in that light and in that great anticipation and that expectation from day to day. Oh, because he is the Son of God, and because he did the work of the Father, that work the Father sent him to do, that which he accomplished, that which he finished. Oh, the very perfect will from eternity past of the Godhead, complete and finished in the Son of God. Then he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. Shewed openly for some 40 days above 500 brethren at one time. And then ascended back and sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. I tell you, if he hadn't accomplished what he had accomplished, he couldn't have went back and sat down in a finished, completed position in authority on the right hand of God. Oh, the gates of heaven would not have opened up. The gates of heaven would not have been lifted up. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, strong and mighty in battle. He had done battle. He had waged the battle of Armageddon. He had fought the fiends and hounds of hell. He had defeated Satan. He had stepped on his head. He had crushed his head. Oh, Satan, many times in doing the different things and influencing and wicked men by wicked hands taken and killed and slew. Amen. The Prince of Life, they bruised his heel. Oh, but Jesus put his foot on Satan's head. I tell you, Satan is defeated. He is a defeated foe. And oh, he's already defeated. It's not that he's going to be defeated. He is defeated. And it will be totally manifested and declared forth. Amen. In the very end, when our Lord casteth him and all of his cohorts of hell into the lake of fire. And then of course, the very last one's death in hell will be swallowed up and cast in that lake of fire. The none of elect, the wicked, into that lake of fire. But of course, we know we have the scriptural expression that says that it was made for the devil and his angels. So we understand that. And that's Satan. That's where he's going to end up. He is on a leash. Oh, we understand of the loosening for a season and so forth. That's in God's hand. that will be and that will take place and so forth, as the Word of God declares. But yet, even in all of that, Satan can only go as far as God will suffer him to go. He don't have free reign. He's not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. Satan is not. He is not an eternal being. He is not as God. Aren't we thankful for that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. That he is not as God. Amen. God is greater. God, amen, is the greatest. He is the most high God. Besides him, there is none other. And we understand it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And that we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. He has a pasture. He has a fold. And he has sheep. Amen. Aren't we thankful for that? Amen. He has sheep. Amen. They're representative. They're called of the elect of God. They are known as the sheep of God. They're not all the sheep. It is not representing obedient children of God. Now, we know that we're disobedient. We know that we wander as sheep. We know that we go astray as sheep. We wander as sheep. And I say that to counter the false teaching that the goats represent disobedient children of God and sheep represent obedient children of God. No, that's heresy. That's a false doctrine. Goats represent the wicked, wicked. The goats are the wicked, wicked. Amen. The sheep, he is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He is that door to the sheepfold. It is by him and through him that the sheep enter. So we understand that the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. That is a particular atonement. That is special atonement. It is what some call a limited atonement. I like to call it a particular atonement, a special atonement, a designated atonement. Amen. It is heresy that Christ died for the sins of every single individual to ever be conceived in Adam's family. Now that's foreign to many folks, and that's foreign to the pulpit in America and around this world. For a universal atonement is preached. And therefore, with that, Christ did not secure anything. When I tell you with a special atonement, with a particular atonement, whereby he died for a designated people who are the sheep of God. Amen. He did something special. He got the job done. And therefore, every last one that he died for, he will present faultless and blameless and spotless before the throne of God and say, I and the children that thou gavest unto me.
Amen.
Oh, present them faultless before the very throne of God. Only the Son of God can do this. Only the Christ, the Christos, the Son of the living God can do this. I want to turn over to the Revelation letter. And we're going to see there in Revelation chapter 5. In verse 5, we have these expressions. We have where John, just prior to this, was weeping much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. But in verse 5, it tells us of Revelation 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Quit weeping, John. Quit being distressed over this, that there is not found a man worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Amen. The root of David. The son of David. The greater David. The son of the living God hath prevailed. When is this talking about he hath prevailed? Why is he worthy? Why is he able and capable, but worthy to open the book? Because he prevailed. That means that he overcame. He is an overcomer. This is why he teaches his people to persevere in overcoming here in this life. Amen. To overcome. Now I'm glad that you'll read much of this concerning the churches there, the seven churches of Asia. It said to them in different places there, many different expressions, unto him that overcometh will I do this, unto him that overcometh will I do that. You'll read many expressions along that line, but that's all temporal, and it's here for temporal blessings. But I want to tell you, when it's talking about here this strong angel, and it's talking about this one that comes forth and is worthy to open this book. Amen. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the root of David, hath prevailed. He overcame Satan. He crushed his head. He overcame death. He defeated death. This is why in the general resurrection at the last day, the just and the unjust, where he told in John chapter 5, he first spoke of the resurrection of the soul from a state of dead and trespass and sin to alive in Christ Jesus. He said, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He tells them not to marvel at that, because he says the hour is coming. And he don't say and now is. Because it's future tense. It's been some 2,000 years. The hour is coming. That hour is still coming. Yeah. It hadn't come yet. The resurrection hadn't come yet. But the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. He will sit on the right hand of the Father. Now I believe he's with us this morning by his Spirit. John saw him walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. He is in his church. He comes into his church. Amen. And walks in the midst by the Holy Ghost, by his Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. But bodily, he is seated on the right hand of the Father. Now he stood when Stephen died. Amen. Jesus stood. And I'm sure he stands up many a times to give direction. I believe he stands up. Amen. In special moments of recognition to receive, to send forth the holy angels as ministering spirits unto heirs of salvation and so forth. Amen. But he never leaves the right hand of his Father. He is there. And when he has stood to do what he is doing, such as Stephen saying, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. But I tell you, amen, soon as he received Stephen's spirit, he sat back down. Amen, he sat back down. He is seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Why? Because he had prevailed. Yeah. He prevailed as the Son of God. I tell you, as the Son of David, as the Son of Abraham. Read Matthew 1:1. It says, the generation of the book of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Amen. The man Christ Jesus is generated. Amen. Has come forth from that natural line of Abraham and David. He did those things that he did here upon this earth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As the Son of God, he forgave sin. That thou mayest know that the Son of God hath power on earth to forgive sin. He forgives sin as the Son of God. Amen. Because he is the Son of God. Amen. So, as the Son of God, he hath prevailed. As the son of David, as the son of Abraham, he did not prevail. But because he laid down his life in death. Amen. He laid down his life in death. He suffered them to kill him. Somebody said, well, which is it, preacher? Did he lay his life down or did they kill him? Both. Amen. The Bible teaches us both. And if you try to go to one and only one, you're going to fly in the face of divine writ. He laid his life down in the context of them killing him. Amen. We have scripture that says that they killed the Prince of Life. Amen. They killed the Prince of Glory. But they would not have done it if his hour had not come. They tried before that. And he, in one occasion, even passed in between them and through the crowd. And they didn't know that he was passing from them. Several times they would have taken him, but his hour was not yet come. He was to lay his life down in the context of Calvary. In the context of Calvary. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. And I tell you, he was lifted up on that tree of the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now that's not universalism. And that's not this wild, far-fetched stuff that men has come up with, teaching a lot of ridiculous things. Amen. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men, Jews and Gentiles, unto me. All manner, all kinds of men.
Yeah.
It's in the same context that he said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now I want to tell you, if the grace of God has appeared unto every man, woman, boy, and girl, if the grace of God has appeared, then the grace of God has done something for them. Because it went on, it's done something in the heart, because in the heart, in regeneration, the Spirit, amen, teaches something. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So now, if the grace of God that appeareth unto all men, if that's all men without exception, then all men have the teaching in their heart.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that would fly in the face of many, many other texts.
That's right.
Because the grace of God has not appeared unto every man without exception, because every one that the grace of God has appeared unto, amen, have had something taught in the heart.
That's right.
Amen. Now, I want to tell you, you can stand on that right there.
Yeah.
That right there is a corner post. You understand? I'm talking about, amen, in surveying terms. Yeah. When a surveyor needs to survey something out, they there's confusion about it, and they can't quite make things line up and coincide and measure out the way that it's supposed to measure out according to the formula, they'll go back to an old corner post, go back to something that has been there.
Yeah.
Now that's what we need to, that's what I'm telling you, that's a corner post. Amen. Teaching that you can go back to. If something seems to be contrary to that, then we're just misunderstanding it. Amen. Because we need to go back. There are things that are that we understand that we can then draw from and go off from to understand and try to rightly divide the word of truth. So the Son of God, he's prevailed, but he is of the root of David. He is the offspring, as Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 beginning there says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." This is what the prophet prophesied, Isaiah did. This is what he has foretold. He's speaking of Christ, speaking of his natural descent. And of course, we know and understand the generation of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We know that David is the 10th generation from Pharisees, who was the bastard son of Judah. And of course, the scripture teaches us that one could not come nigh to the tabernacle or offer service or be public service before the people until the 10th generation. And David was the fulfillment of that 10th generation from that standpoint. So Jesus, he is the... You see, it couldn't be Jesse. Jesse's the ninth, but he is out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now notice the verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who's this talking about? It's talking about Christ. Talking about Christ. Talking about Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, but further and greater still, the Son of the living God. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is talking about, in the context, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. That this would be upon the Spirit. Notice as it says each time that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You know, Jesus, when he took and he read there in the synagogue that day, he said, he read from the another place in Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And he goes on through that list there, speaking of, and said, "And this day is this fulfilled in your hearing." It's fulfilled. In other words, I am the fulfillment of it. But notice, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear, and of the fear of the Lord. And you've heard me reference this before, and I go back to it. Acts 10:34. Message that Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house when he was speaking of Jesus Christ, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What was the first part of that verse? How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. How are we going to be able to go about doing good from time to time? By the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. How are we going to do good works of faith? It's by the Spirit. It's by walking in the Spirit. Jesus is our example. The man Christ Jesus lived and walked in the Spirit. He had the Spirit without measure.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that plainly in the Gospel of John, that God gave unto him the Spirit without measure. Jesus Christ is the only man that has ever had the Spirit without measure.
Yeah.
You've heard me say, the apostles had a great measure of the gifts of the Spirit. These, does these not sound like and correlate with the gifts of the Spirit. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge. You go over and you read in the New Testament, and I'm not going to take time to turn over there and read it, but you do it later. You read about the gifts of the Spirit in the gospel church, and it will be just like these. The gifts of the Spirit. Amen. God gave unto him the Holy Ghost, the Spirit without measure. That Spirit that descended upon him in the Jordan River when he went in a way of obedience. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Our Lord was obedient unto the will of the Godhead, unto the will of the Father. Haven't come to do my will, but thy will, O God. And therefore, he is our example. He also, the apostle says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ? To do the will of the Father. That was the mindset. So that is to be our mindset, to do the will of God. God has showed forth and gave us his will in his word. He has given us his will. I've heard people all my life say, I wish I knew the will of God. I wish I knew the will of God. Read the Bible. Yeah. Amen. Read the Bible. And you'll read a lot about the will of God for your life. Oh, what is the whole duty of man? To fear God and keep his commandments. You want to know what the will of God is? There it is in a nutshell. We have it in a nutshell, amen, from the teaching of James, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's a plateful right there. That's a plateful, brothers and sisters. Amen. Don't say this thing about, I wish I knew the will of God. I've just given you the will of God for your life in a nutshell. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a condensed version. Now, I understand, you know, a lot of times when we say that, we're talking about specific direction, crossroads that we could understand which direction that the Lord would have us to take far as in the decisions. But there again, go back to the counsel of God's word. Go back to the counsel of his word. Now, I want to, since we're right there, I want to turn back over here to the Revelation letter in chapter 7, and what you have here, you have John seeing. He said, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, right there's a contradiction. The earth's round. Well, I ain't got time to go into all that this morning, but I want to tell you, amen, there's four corners in comparison to the measurement toward the heaven. Amen. And then there's, and then it's going to talk about the winds, the four winds that blow here, and those points are north and south and east and west. It's very simple. That's all that this is speaking of. It's no contradiction that concerning the earth being round. He says in verse 2 that he saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal, S-E-A-L, of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then he's going to go forth and he gives the number and talks about the 12 tribes and the square root of the 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is 144,000. Amen. A representative number. Don't want to get off and try to go into that. But in verse 9, coming on down, he said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues. These are the elect of God, and they stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That sounds good, don't it? Amen. White robes. Why? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Palms in their hands, signifying victory. Why? Because, amen, this Christ, this Son of the living God, He has prevailed. He has overcome. He is a victorious Christ. He is a victorious Son. Therefore, amen, He will bring many sons unto glory. Plural, S, many sons, all the adopted sons of God who are the elect of God. He will bring them unto glory.
Yeah.
Oh, but notice this. This multitude that is rejoicing, and they're crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. God on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb. This is, amen, the Lord, the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the Son of God, the expressed image of the Father, in whom bodily dwelt, bodily the fullness of the Godhead. I'm trying to get down to where I want to go, and I hope I hadn't lost you getting down there. Let's go on down to verse 12, because it's going to sound just like verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 11. And this multitude is also worshiping God and falling on their face. And the elders and the four beasts that's before the throne, they're falling on their face and worshiping. And what are they saying? Amen. Saying amen. Now here's seven things. I want you to notice these seven things. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Seven designations here. Amen. Seven expressive words that they're saying. They're saying blessing, glory, wisdom. Remember back over here, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Well, I want to tell you that's being in a blessed state. That's being in a blessed state for the Spirit of the Lord. Blessed are they, as Jesus gave forth those beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they, and write them down the line and so forth. Why? They're in a blessed state. If you're able to do those things that he talks about there, you're in a blessed condition. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the glorified Son of God, the glorified Son of Man, who is the Son of God made flesh. And condescended here to this earth. Blessing. Amen. He is in a most blessed condition. And glory, the epitome, the glory personified, as I said earlier, grace now and glory after a while, and wisdom. Did it not say over here that the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power and might. Amen. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge. The agreement in God's word, expressing the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah's prophesying about Jesus. John is seeing the one that does the sealing, the one that has all power in heaven and earth. That unto him is blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. He is still the El Shaddai that Abraham saw in Genesis 7, chapter 17. Amen. God Almighty, the great God, the Almighty God, all-powerful God. How wonderful these thoughts. I want to back up there to verse 9 in Revelation 5. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." About these that are singing this new song, they have been redeemed. How have they been redeemed? Because the Lord was slain. Remember what I was saying earlier? Amen. They killed him. They slew him. You know, he stood as a lamb, as slain from the foundation of the world. But there came the actual time when he was slain. You know that lamb that they put up? And I hadn't read that in a while, but if memory serving me right, wasn't it 4 days that they put the lamb up? But nevertheless, you can go back over there and you can read it. But the point I just want to make from bringing that in is that that lamb was as good as slain from the very first day they put it up. Amen. The very expectation, the very deliberate counseling, amen, was at the appropriate time. It may have been, it was on the 14th day, and I believe it was put up for 4 days, but that's all right. It don't matter about that. The point is, amen, that from the time it was put up until the time it was slain, it was as good as slain, but it wasn't slain yet.
Yeah.
I tell you, it had to take place. It had to be slain for them to be able to take the blood of the lamb and to place it over the door and on the two doorposts, that when the destroyer came through on that doleful night, that last night, that dreadful night, when there was a great cry going up and out through the land of Egypt, but in the land of Goshen where there was blood, where there was blood over the doors and over the doorpost, Passover, where that memorial, where that had been established, which would point toward the slaying of the Lamb, the Son of God, that John the Baptist, seeing him coming the next day, seeing Christ coming the next day, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Oh, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. The penalty, the law of sin and death of the world, Jews and Gentiles, the world of God's people. If it was the world without exception, then all, amen, are guiltless and free from the penalty of sin. But there is a special application to that word world there, which signifies in the same context that we spoke of those things earlier, and I'm not going to rehearse them and go back through them again, but it's in that same context. And they're crying out, amen, to this glorified one, to this one that is worthy, to this one that prevailed. Oh, that was, and the reason that he prevailed, the reason he was worthy was because he prevailed. He did the will of the Father. He accomplished what he came here to do. And it was evident with his victorious going back to that world, that glory world, and sitting down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." You know that's past tense. Thou wast slain. He's not slain anymore. Now, the slain work is still appropriated. Amen. That it hadn't expired. All right. No, it's not expired. But he's risen. Amen. He's alive. But you know, we do shew forth his death. It's vital. It's very important. And that's what the communion service does. It reminds us. It shews forth the Lord's death until he comes.
Yeah.
Amen. Until he comes. Oh, but we're not doing what we're doing in the communion service, commemorating a dead, slain Savior. He is alive. He is risen. We have a lively faith. We have a lively hope.
Yeah.
Amen. God's people are lively stones.
Yeah.
Because we have a Savior that is alive. We have a victorious Lord that is alive. Oh, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Slain, death. Bloodshed, death. The shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is what the greater David, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the greater David, the Word made flesh, the Son of the living God. He is all of these things. He comes under all of these titles, all of these names. But they represent at each designation, signifies and teaches us vital importance of information that leads to the psalm and the whole. Amen. To the psalm and the whole. But isn't it wonderful from God's Word to break these things down? Amen. To break these things down and to see, amen, these different designations, these different aspects and applications,
yeah.
Amen, that the Word of God teaches us. Now, if it wasn't important and if it wasn't vital and if we didn't need to know it, God wouldn't have put it in here.
Right.
God put it in here, so by God's help, I'm going to try to preach it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to stand on the authority of God's Word when Paul, the apostle, tells Timothy, preach the Word.
Yeah.
Preach the Word. That means all the Word.
Right.
All the Word. What I'm trying to do is preach you the Word on these different aspects. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He's redeemed us to God by thy blood, by thy sacrificial death, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know, the Old Testament, the greatest designation, the greatest manifestation of God is with and through the setting apart of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, the covenants that God made, and right on down the line with them. They are God's representative people here on this earth. They were to declare, they were to show forth to the praise and honor and glory of God.
Yeah.
And be alive here upon this earth to the honor and glory of God. They failed in that. They failed through their disobedience, through their wandering, through their goings off and astray. But aren't we thankful? We see even God's mercy with them concerning that. They're also a type and shadow and pointing of God's elect people, of God's children here in this life. Many of God's children are disobedient. Many times we have seasons and times of disobedience. You know, I was in that in Psalm 106 last Sunday. And we talked about, you know, those verses, particularly verse 28 through 31. But I want you to skip on down, and we're just a few more moments, if you will indulge me, please. We'll go on down to verse 43 and listen to these words in Psalm 106. Many times did he deliver them. Oh, listen to this. Think about this. But many times did he deliver them, talking about the children of Israel. But they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. You know, I've said a lot of times that nevertheless, isn't that a wonderful thunder tone? Amen. And I always think of the expression over there. You remember the saints of God that because of the false preaching and of those preachers that preached false doctrine and said the resurrection was past, and it overthrew the faith of some. Didn't overthrow the inerrant, innate faith. No, intrinsic faith. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about their belief. as in articles of faith, as in statement of faith. It overthrew their faith. Many of God's children, their faith has been overthrown in that context. But what is the what do we have that comes next? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Even though their faith was overthrown, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And here in verse 44 of Psalm 106, nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry, and He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Remember the great place of honor that Daniel was esteemed to. Remember the great honor that the three Hebrew children had. Remember the different ones that God blessed with favor among their captives. That's what this is talking about here. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. And then listen, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Aren't we thankful for God's mercy and grace, and that God will never cast away His people that He foreknew. He will never cast them away. Amen. They will never be separated from Him. Oh, He has restored His banished. He's restored His banished. All the human family was banished in Adam. The elect, right along with the non-elect, were banished. The whole human family were banished, separated from God. Oh, but God has restored His banished. Amen. Through the prevailing work of the Lamb of God, our victorious Lord and Savior. God bless you, is my prayer this morning.